Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I've had a good time sharing the word on the book of Hebrews. Last night, we spent over an hour on four words. Let us draw near. And I got a little bit sidetracked, and like I said last night, I blamed it on the Holy Spirit. I'm not totally sure that that was the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to say it was. And it was good. But this morning, I had so much more that I was wanting to share, and there's no way I'm going to get to hardly any of it. And so I'm just going to jump right in and start sharing on some things that I think we've got to cover before we finish up with the book of Hebrews tonight. So let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start again with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. These are the verses that I've been using all weekend long. It says, "And having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And you know, I believe that that pretty much summarizes the book of Hebrews, those few verses right there. But these have become religious cliches to us. Many of us just skip over these things, and these words haven't impacted us. So what I've been doing, this is now our fourth time, and tonight will be our fifth session. I've been going back and just amplifying on things, and we talked about what it meant to enter into the holiest by a new and living way, contrasted to an old and death-oriented way. And man, those are radical things that we've said. But what I want to do today, let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 9, and let's start looking at what I think is probably the most radical point in the book of Hebrews, and it fits perfectly with Hebrews 10:23, where it says you have to approach God with your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your body's washed with pure water. And we're going to talk about this, but we're going to be talking about how that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, past, present, and even sins that you haven't committed. This is a radical concept and one that is foreign to most Christians. Most of us are still living under an Old Testament mentality that every time we sin, it's a new transgression against God. And so we got to go back and ask forgiveness and get back into right standing with God. That your sin and your failure affects God's attitude towards you. That's the way that most Christians today live. That's the way that most churches preach. And you know, I can't tell you the motive behind everybody, what they do. Some people, it's because that's what they've been taught and they sincerely believe it and they just keep teaching the same thing that they've been taught. But I can tell you that one of the reasons that the body of Christ preaches this so much is because you can control people, manipulate people with this. You can tell them that unless you come to church, unless you pay your tithes, unless you do this and do this and do this and do this, God's not going to bless you and God won't prosper you. And it's a way of controlling people. When you start telling people about the total freedom that we have from sin and what Jesus has done for us, it really, in a sense, frees people. And you lose control. Of course, now the thing is, people don't realize this, but love will captivate you stronger than condemnation and fear and doubt ever will. Love is actually a greater motivation. And with love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says there's no fear in love. Fear has torment. Whoever fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect love will cast out fear. If we really were preaching the true freedom that we have in Christ, it would affect people so much, they would love God so much that they would serve God more accidentally than they ever have on purpose before if they got hold of the love of God. But to the natural man, it just doesn't look that way. There are a lot of preachers. You know, I probably get more resistance from preachers than I do from people in churches. But preachers really get upset with what I'm preaching because they think, boy, you're just setting the people free. How are we going to control them? How are we going to manipulate them? How are we going to keep them coming to church and paying their tithes if we tell them God loves them in spite of their performance? It's preachers that really get upset with this. Amen? I know that really blessed a lot of you. So we've already read down through Hebrews chapter 9, the first five verses of Hebrews chapter 9 are talking about that the Old Testament tabernacle had all of these pieces of furniture in there that were symbolic of things that are reality in the temple that's in heaven. And we ended with verse 5 talking about that the cherubims of glory were over the mercy seat, but we can't speak of those particularly now. That doesn't apply to us because the cherubims are now removed. There is nothing there to prohibit you or keep you from entering into the presence of God. Jesus has opened up a new and living way, and you aren't going to have any angel stand in your way in approaching to God. You now have total access to God even when you've messed up, not just when you're holy and when you're perfect. Man, that is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of his people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." You know, this is an obvious truth, but many people don't connect these dots, so let me just say this. It says that while the first tabernacle was standing, the way into the holiest of all was not made perfect. So therefore, here's a logical conclusion. If you are still living under the Old Testament mentality, this law mentality where you got to do this and do this and do this to appease an angry God and to appropriate His blessing. If it's based on what you do, that's a law mentality, then you don't have access to the Holy of Holies. You cannot worship God and enter into this intimacy and into this joy and relationship with God as long as you have this Old Testament mindset. That's obvious what these verses are saying. In verse 9 it says, "Which was a figure." The Old Testament tabernacle was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, which could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You know, I wanted during this series to teach specifically a whole session on the conscience because most people don't understand the conscience and how it works. And we blame the Holy Spirit often for what your conscience is doing. The Holy Spirit is not the one that makes you feel miserable. The Holy Spirit is not the one that makes you feel guilty and shame and stuff like that. That is your conscience. And I'm not going to teach on the conscience. Let me just say this. You need to go get some materials out there. I can't even think of where I've got this, but I know I've taught on this other places. But it's my opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everybody usually has one, and it has a couple holes in it. But it's my opinion, amen, that God didn't create us with a conscience. That we received our conscience when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is descriptive of what the conscience does. And men immediately, Adam and Eve immediately began to feel guilt and shame the moment they ate of the tree. And I think they got the conscience through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's really not the way that God intended for people to function. But since we are fallen human beings, we all now have a conscience and it's a fact of life and we have to learn to deal with it. And there's a number of scriptures that talk about cleansing yourself from an evil conscience. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 is one of them. And I was going to major on that. But you need to recognize that your conscience is not a totally reliable guide. It is a guide, but it's not completely reliable. The Bible says that you can sear your conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can sear your conscience with a hot iron. You can have an evil conscience. Hebrews 10:23. If you've got an evil conscience, then there is a good conscience. Your conscience has to be purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And the Old Testament law could not deal with your conscience. So people under the Old Testament, they could be forgiven by performing all of the rites and the rituals and going through the sacrifices, but they never felt clean. They never were free of guilt. And sad to say, most Christians today don't feel clean and free of guilt. They still have a sin consciousness. And I'll be reading this scripture in a few moments out of Hebrews 10:2, where it says that if there could have been a sacrifice offered which would have really dealt with sin, then they would have had no more sin consciousness. That's the way that we should be living, and very few Christians have appropriated that. So this says that the Old Testament law could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and in divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. That 10th verse is making it very clear that the law was temporary, that it was only until something happened, there was going to be a Reformation. You know, if you just took the book of Hebrews, I've made this point a dozen times already, but it's contrasting the old way with the new way. And it is saying that there was a temporary way of dealing with people, and there is now a new and a living way to approach unto God. And yet the average Christian is mixed the old covenant law with the new covenant grace, and they're somehow or another trying to make both of them fit. They don't fit. You cannot live under both covenants at one time. And the reason that we are so frustrated and having problems in our life is because basically the church is mixing the old covenant law with the new covenant grace. You know, there's so many things in the Old Testament. Like, for instance, David said this in Psalms chapter 51 when he was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Created me a clean heart." Did you know we sing that song today in church? And people sing that. You know, that's absolutely wrong. Somebody says, but it's Scripture. It is Scripture. Old Testament Scripture.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-155 titled Momentary Redemption when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I believe that the truths I'm sharing could transform lives all around the world, and I'm doing everything I can to get this word out. We reach over 200 million homes worldwide. But you know what? There's still millions of homes to go. And if you haven't yet become a partner with our Gospel Truth broadcast, I'd like to ask you to pray about it and then become a monthly partner with us. There are people all of the time who receive benefit from this. They are blessed. They listen, watch on a daily basis, and yet they've never given beyond just the materials that they get. I'd like to ask you to help us reach out beyond just your need and reach other people. Please call or write today.